Tony Hsieh was the CEO of Zappos.com, and he poured hundreds of millions into the purchase and redevelopment of downtown Las Vegas property. His death has shocked and saddened many Las Vegans who appreciated his out-of-the-box style. Others were heartened by the way he created small business opportunities in a part of the city that had blighted over time. State of Nevada contributor John L. Smith joins us with his perspective on Hsieh and his efforts in downtown Las Vegas. John, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back, Joe.
You know, John, there's been an outpouring of grief in Las Vegas over Tony Hsieh's death. He really left a mark here. What do you think he'll be remembered for, his biggest contribution?
Oh, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that he'll be remembered for, and obviously the loss of a person who is creative and generous and contributed so much to the community in such a relatively short time, you know, that's a tragedy in itself. But setting that aside, what he'll be remembered for, I think, is something that we may not even see right now. What I think is going to happen, because the downtown project, we can talk about whether it's a success or a success in the making or a failure or however you want to describe it. The bottom line is putting that much energy into downtown at a time when it was really down on its heels. You don't know the effect of that in our time now. In the few years, it may spark other people to invest downtown. It may remind people that there is, there's energy downtown. And clearly, he lowered almost single-handedly. I mean, the average age of the downtown visitor dropped 25 years because of Tony Hsieh. And you can't really measure that in one point in time. You can only see it over the arc of time, whether it worked or not. But no one else, let's remember, no one else had that kind of skin in the game and was willing to invest in that area, which, a lot of folks didn't even want to see. They didn't want to drive through.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never heard, or I'm sure there has been, but that kind of skin in the game really anywhere in an urban core in some city. I mean, this part of Las Vegas downtown was not a nice place to be.
No,
before this happened.
It's one of those things that had seen better generations. Forget about better years. The last time it had really bustled with activity, you were talking about the 50s and 60s. And as the valley has kind of spread its population out toward the mountains, people left that downtown corridor and they left it kind of in a lurch, when the anchor businesses, the places where if you interview a person who's older in Las Vegas, that's where they went to the movies. They went to the El Portal and they went to those places. If you shopped and you needed shoes, there were two or three shoe stores in town in the 50s. I mean, and they were downtown essentially. So those kind of things happened. But of course, times have changed, and now there's these amazing developments on the outer edge of the valley, and so it's created a real challenge for the city of Las Vegas, certainly, but also for the citizenry. To what do you do with that area? And to find someone who's willing to I'm bringing a bankroll. It's not just a big idea. The guy had a bankroll to go with it, and he took a hell of a shot.
A downtown redevelopment isn't exactly your beat. You've written about mobsters, sports, all kinds of things over the years. But I wonder if you had a personal impression of Tony Hsieh.
I was just around him in other public gatherings where everyone was. So I don't really have any personal memories of him. I can tell you this much, to be at Zappos where he was appearing was as close, and I mean this with respect, but it was as close to a cult as I'll probably ever be. I mean, he was so admired. It was so over the top that it was a little, as a journalist, I walk in a little pretty skeptical of everything. And I'm going, wow, this guy's really got the magic here. What are they drinking? And can I have a shot of it? But so there was that element to Hsieh. He clearly had the same effect, and probably the city leaders. Bob Coffin was a good representative of that yesterday's show. The city leaders were clearly looking at Hsieh, finding him very charming, but also seeing that he was actually bringing money to downtown. So they had their own motivations there. However, I don't think anyone cast a better spell over City Hall. They got that downtown City Hall building, I think, for a song, and we could argue whether they paid the right price for it. But by bringing Zappos's factory, if you will, to the downtown corridor, it brought people here every day, and as I say, younger generation of people here who were of necessity going to be eating, they were going to be drinking, they were going to think about moving downtown. And so when you see what followed, I mean, that's part of that success in the making, if you will.
What about taking his ideas, his redevelopment ideas, to other places? What have you heard about that?
Well, you know, he had that same thought. He did travel to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where he attracted quite an audience and a lot of excitement because Santa Fe's rail yard area was essentially pretty careworn. However, that didn't really take off. George R.R. Martin is a tremendous influence in Santa Fe with his money. That's Game of Thrones. With his money and his great ideas, and so he's done an awful lot for Santa Fe, and I think Shea came to town thinking that might be a possibility. There was a lot of work put into that and to some other places. In the end, I don't believe it panned out, but he was ready to try to take the idea on the road, and he indeed did.
Does he remind you of anybody else?
Bits and pieces. Yeah, I don't think any one person saves downtown Las Vegas. It's just not going to happen. It's too big. It's got too many challenges, things that aren't necessarily about infrastructure. It's about social challenges. It's got a lot of homeless population there, a lot of real issues. However, when Steve Wynn had the Golden Nugget and he decided to put something really bright and shiny on Fremont Street, that was a big deal. You know, that was a big deal. It kind of grew the brand. It probably saved other casinos from a worse end. When the Fremont Street Experience came in, you know, that didn't save downtown, but it boosted the business. It moved it to basically one more piece on the checkerboard. So, you know, you see Derek Stevens, and there's the guy. He's more public, more dynamic, more Vegas-y, certainly, than Tony Shea ever was. However, it's also about, hey, did you dream it? Yes, but did you do it? And, you know, he did it. And when you look downtown, you can see that is a major imprint. Now, does that save downtown? No, because other people have to build up enough kind of investment to be back there.
The tributes for Tony Shea are all over the internet. Sadly, his death made international news. But in downtown Las Vegas, one interesting tribute was on the big screen canopy of Fremont Street Experience. What was that like?
Well, I believe that was, again, Derek Stevens' idea to do that. And, you know, to have that, it's almost a perfect metaphor for Shea. He's gone, and that's a sadness. There's a possibility he'll be a blithe spirit in downtown Las Vegas, that his impact, his sensibility, his ability to believe in folks who were trying to, you know, make their small business investment in the container park, and some of those things, that it won't go by the wayside. It won't be, last generation's shoe store down there. It'll be something that when the next person comes along, they'll see that, hey, let's give this a try. Let's push into this area that certainly needs the help. And, you have to hope that that's the way it is. Unfortunately, business is cruel, and we're in a very tough situation in Southern Nevada. But there will be 2021, and there'll be better days ahead.
John L. Smith is with us. Tony Shea's death stunned so many people, but the world keeps spinning, and COVID-19 infections keep growing, and Las Vegas is being especially hard hit by that. And that has a lot of people, once again, talking about the need to diversify the economy. And John, you've been doing a little historical research on that subject, diversifying the economy. What have you found?
Well, it's a point in time back in the early 1980s when we were in recession, and a lot of, Chamber of Commerce types were staring at their shoes because they'd been telling people their whole lives that Las Vegas was recession-proof. And, of course, that wasn't true then, and it's not true now, as we know. However, there came a point where an opportunity presented itself. The very large Citibank Corporation took interest in moving one of its credit card factoring and processing centers to the West. And New Mexico was a first choice. I was doing an interview with former senator and governor, Nevada Governor Richard Bryan, about this issue, and he had the tremendous memories of it because it was so important at the time. Unemployment was double digits. I mean, you're talking about a Las Vegas in a real stress. And, they wound up through negotiations. They wound up landing Citibank. It wound up at this place that was out on a dirt road, right at the end where Sahara ended, and the Sahara continued, but the asphalt ended. Mm-hmm. It was a part that of the community that was yet to be developed, and Citibank represented so many things on so many levels. It employed about 1,000 people. That was great. There was a large building was built. That was fine. But it was a different kind of job base. And things grew up around it. Now, that part of the valley was growing, so that was a positive mm-hmm. to start with. But there were no guarantees that it would work. And, because of the leadership of the governor and because of the embrace of the Nevada Development Authority, I mean, that started something that now when you drive up Sahara, you take it for granted. Citibank's gone, right? Citibank has moved on.
Right.
The building is used for other things. But that area is full of business. It's flourished. And I think that that's a lesson to take forward. These are pretty dark days, but I mean, that's a lesson for everybody that there are possibilities out there and the community is changing. It just needs to change at a higher pace. Diversification to me is business-wise is absolutely everything for the future of Southern Nevada, and it's going to be hard fought because other communities are doing the same thing.
Well, Citibank moved into the area. Now it's kind of known as the Lakes, and I want to get into that for a second, but that was about 40 years ago. Do you think in 40 years you're going to see downtown Las Vegas as with as many new businesses and living spaces as there are now in that part of town?
Well, I certainly think that that's a real possibility, but let's go back to the lakes.
Yeah.
This is one of the funny stories about, the Vegas that we live in now is, of course, kind of on everybody's mind and everybody's Rolodex and speed dial. But in 1980, Citibank's big concern, of course, was that it didn't want its mailing address to be Las Vegas because of the Sin City reputation. And they wanted to come up with other idea that was, it sounded, beautiful and or at least innocuous. And they came up with the idea of the lakes. And, the governor endorsed that. The mayor at the time, Bill Breer, did not. he was a hometown guy and he was rooting for the home team and he was proud of Las Vegas. And as we all were, but people actually understood that, look, Las Vegas came with a stigma. And that's been traditionally, the hardest thing to beat is that idea that Vegas is just for partying and just for sin. But fortunately, they just shuffled the cards a little bit, if you will, and changed it to the lakes, and Citibank was happy, and the community was happy, and it all worked out.
Wait, so when you address something, postage, you address it to the lakes down Las Vegas?
Sure. When people mailed in their bills and they wound up sending off their letters, it went to the Lakes, Nevada, not the Lakes, Las Vegas, which is, of course, a major housing development, but the Lakes, Nevada. And, you might not have been able to find it on a map in those days, but you could certainly find it in the mail.
Now, before we go, you want to give a tip of the hat to an elected official who must still be recovering from the election.
Yeah, Secretary of State Barbara Sagaski is an unsung hero in our state. For many reasons, her handling of this recent election, people who followed this closely know what a stellar job she did, and she did it under tremendous pressure. She is a Republican and a proud one, and she put up with more malarkey, to put it politely, from the Nevada GOP, from outside Republican influences. She took the heat for the state. I think Nevadans should be really proud of her and really proud of the way the election was handled, not just in Clark County where Joe Gloria did such a great job and was very tough, but statewide. you know, she got a shout out on 60 Minutes actually from Chris Krebs, who essentially ran, you know, oversaw the cybersecurity for the election, and of course got fired by the president recently. He said it very well. He said, look, these people, they went out of their way to stand their ground, to stand on the law, and to put politics and keep politics aside. And in the most politically, you know, tumultuous campaign of the, you know, of the new century anyway.
Yeah. And the election, thankfully, is over. John L. Smith is a longtime columnist, author, and reporter. John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
This is State of Nevada.